Let's boldly go, bitches.
Seriously?
Yep, that's it. That's all you got. That's all you need for the intro. Barrel Podcast for May 8th, 2009. This is Michael Minotti, joined by Adjguy Minotti.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Jeff Fienwagger Parsons. Say hi, Jeff.
How's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's going good.
Yes.
Yep, we're having a good time. I just finished school, saw Star Trek yesterday. Fun, good times. So, the show today, we're going to start off with the news. Should be fun. Then we're going to get to Game of the Year 1998. Which I've been looking forward to because 1998 is just the best year in video games ever. And you just can't argue that point. You can't. Then we're going to have the quiz. Once it, you know, it's going to be inspired by the games in 1998. Then we'll talk about our weekend gaming. We'll hit up the download game releases and the regular game releases. Is there a top 10 on 411? I think there might be.
I didn't even look.
We'll look. We'll check that out. If there is, we'll cover it. If not, we won't. You know, it's pretty simple. So, when do you want to start us off then, Adjguy?
Okay, the first news item, Fallout 3's Broken Steel expansion came out this week, which I'll talk about more in depth later, but just to let everyone know, there were some initial issues with the release, most notably on the PC version, it didn't work at all due to some sort of DRM issue with Games for Windows Live. That has been fixed. There was a problem with the 360 version. If you got your achievements, they weren't posting on your profile. That has been fixed. But if you got the achievements they didn't post, you need to recover your gamer tag on your console, and then it'll update, which I still need to do, actually. So, you know, it does kind of like Penny Arcade said. It begs the question, Freudian slip, will they ever release, like, not buggy DLC for this game, like, that has initial problems?
Yeah.
No.
Are you happy with the DLC process that the game's taken so far?
No, I mean, I enjoyed all the DLC chapters. I just wish they worked right away. I mean, granted, the problem I had this one, the achievements not posting wasn't a big deal. I could play it. I mean, it sucks for the PC people had to wait, and the same things happened with the Pit. Like I said, I just wish it would work. That's all.
I still just kind of wish that there was one bigger, just kind of one expansion, sort of. Like a more traditional expansion,
I don't,
you know?
I mean, you haven't played any of these, right?
I haven't played any of them. I'm just saying in theory, I just kind of wish. I just kind of like the idea of here's the expansion for the game. Like, you know, just like how I used to. Like, Diablo 2 had Lords of Destruction. Here's, like, there's new classes and there's new levels and all these new things and it continues the story and here's the big thing. And now you have, like, all these kind of little things that it's, like, it's just kind of, I don't know.
Well, like I said in the past, and granted we don't know the details, but I'm kind of looking at the Fallout Vegas thing to kind of scratch that itch.
Isn't that supposed to be a real game, though?
My question. Is that a real game? See, like, it's like, what's the difference? What's the distinction between this and something like they could have just released as an expansion or whatever for Fallout 3?
It sounds to me like it's that kind of that Relic model of standalone expansions. Mm. Same tech,
but I don't like that
model. New campaigns.
I don't like that standalone expansion.
Well, it's just an expansion that doesn't require the previous game.
If you got all three expansions, what did they cost? What did it add up to?
$30 for all three. And each one's about 4 to 6 hours of gameplay.
Is there $30 of game there?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Easily.
But my problem is, standalone expansion is an oxymoron to me.
Well,
you're supposed to expand on the main game. Yeah, I don't want a standalone expansion is basically a sequel that's not confident enough in itself
You want something that furthers the story and the experience of the base Fallout 3 experience.
Yeah, and I know you're about to say that's what Broken Steel is.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, my point is, Broken Steel should have been what it is and with everything that came before it. My problem is not with Broken Steel. Broken Steel pretty much is what I want. I have more of an issue with the Pit in Operation Anchorage and what I feel like they're going to release, like, five more of these things. Like,
yeah, well,
gonna,
but
like,
the thing is,
mini, though, if, they're going to mini-expansion us to death.
If Broken Steel is what you wanted, you got it, and you got some other stuff, too.
Like I said, I haven't played this game. I'm just saying, in theory, I just wish that maybe this is just one big... Like is Broken Steel on level with the Shivering Isles from Morrowind? No,
but it is bigger than, like, Knights of the Nine and the Pit and Anchorage were. It's kind of, that one's more in the middle, whereas the Pit and Anchorage are more like Knights of the Nine.
Okay, well, we can move on from this.
Okay. So they've announced two exclusive guitars to release alongside with the Beatles Rock Band, the Rickenbacker 325 and the Gretsch Duo Jet. Both will be coming out for, shoot, I didn't write it down, but I think it's either 90 or 100 bucks for each guitar. They're wireless, full-size replicas. They look nice.
Sadly, there won't be a single person buying one of these who actually, like, needs a guitar.
No. See, our brother. Well, for a reference to that.
I call shenanigans on Rock Band for this.
Why?
I don't think this has anything to do with the game. This is for Beatles collectors to go out and buy.
Oh, totally. I mean, like our brother, who's a huge Beatles fan, he already has the Pro Ion drums. He has the wireless Rock Band 2 controller. He's buying the special edition. I don't know what he's going to do with the drums. Like, look at them. He's already getting one of these. I think he said he's going to get the Rickenbacker. So he's already going to get one of these guitars, even though he has one. We have the replica, the Fender bass. You have that, Mike.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's just totally buying this stuff because he's a Beatles fan. Which, you know, I mean, I guess it's fine.
You've been reading about how the whole music thing is kind of dying down, the whole music game.
Yeah, that's what a lot of analysts think. Well, just this week, I forgot to write it down, but I was going to mention it. Activision announced Guitar Hero 5, Band Hero, and DJ Hero.
I wonder why. Oversaturation much?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Well, Guitar Hero 5, Activision's touted all these groundbreaking features, such as the ability to drop in and out of a song, change difficulty on the fly, and what was the other one? Oh, you could change your instrument more easily, I guess. Band Hero is supposed to, it's kind of like their Lego Rock Band. It's aimed at the kids.
That's a confusing title, though, because Band Hero is,
there's
like,
nothing in that to indicate that it's for a younger crowd.
Yeah, Band Hero just sounds like what Guitar Hero World Tour is. It's just such a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if these things go away for a while, I won't be that upset.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Well, speaking of wanting money, Richard Garriott is suing NCSoft for $24 million.
Woo! He wants to build another castle.
Yes. Well,
he wants to go back to space and stay there this time.
Well, this is the basic breakdown. And when you listen to it, he sounds actually pretty justified. So apparently, they kind of forced him out when he was doing his whole space adventure. He like came back and found out that they kind of want him gone. He didn't really say much because he's supposed to have stock options till 2011. But there's something in his contract. If he voluntarily quit, those stock options expired 90 days after his departure. So that whole farewell note on the NCSoft forums, Gary is now saying he didn't write that, and they're trying to make it look like he quit rather than was fired so they can get out of their stock deals with him. So if that's the case, then he's pretty justified in what he's doing, I'd say.
If that's the case. I mean, you know, it's he said, they said sort of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll watch how that plays out.
Yeah.
Square Enix has announced they have no plans to bring the Final Fantasy XIII demo to America.
Boo.
Now, this stuff cracks me up. Here's a quote.
They don't have plans to bring the Blu-ray version of the demo.
Yeah, then this is what Yoshinori Katase, the producer of the game, says. But we hear that the demo version normally means something you can download in the West, so that possibility we would like to check. A, they didn't think of this. B, like, can you not download demos in Japan?
I don't know. I guess that's more of a Western thing, apparently.
It's just like, oh, we heard you can do this, so we might look into that. Like, yeah, maybe you should do it. Because, according to the sales data, based on just the bump from the demo, okay, the demo, the PlayStation 3 saw a 288% sales increase over last April.
Maybe we'll see a new PS3 bundle with the demo, and that's the only way
they
can play the demo.
They could do that.
Just and put it on the hard drive.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's
if I was Sony, I would like show up at Square Enix and be like, "Do you want us to make the demo for you? Like, we'll get some localizers and put it up, please. We need to sell more PlayStations."
I mean, they could even just subtitle it at this point.
Seriously, yeah. Honestly, that'd be fine. I'd be totally fine.
Need a subtitle in English menus, and they would pretty much be done.
Right.
I would play that.
Yeah,
I would play that. I mean, it would be a big demo, though. But I mean, they could do it. I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean. They should.
It'll be huge.
Make it a core subscriber exclusive. Ooh. Your core numbers will go through the roof.
I'll subscribe to core, whatever the fuck
See?
That is.
See?
No, don't stop saying that.
Yeah, we should be careful.
Yeah.
Continuing Sony's march of dominance. Apparently, they've decided.
Really? Come on. yeah, sure, well, whatever.
See, Sony Pictures owns Ghostbusters. So Sony's finally decided to flaunt that a bit. They've picked up the publishing rights to the game in PAL territories, meaning that in Europe, the game will be a timed exclusive to the PlayStation 3 and PS2, with the 360 and Wii versions coming later in the year.
Now, if they're publishing the game in PAL, how is it coming out for anything but a Sony platform?
They're just publishing the Sony versions.
Okay.
With, shoot, who is it? Warner Brothers has the game? No.
What? Ooh, who's...
Atari is publishing all other versions, and they're still the sole publisher in the United States. Also, though, what was interesting, in this press release, the PSP version of the game is confirmed, because that kind of was in and out of rumor for a while. So that is a done deal.
Okay.
Microsoft has announced the release of Gears of War 2 All Fronts Collection. This is going to be a collection. It's a retail disc. It has all the previous Gears of War 2 map packs on it, which right there is almost worth the $20 that it'll sell for. You also get something called Dark Corners. So it has new multiplayer maps and a deleted campaign chapter called Road to Ruin, which they say you can play like the same way you've always been playing, or something about a new stealth mode, whatever that may be.
What?
Yeah.
Is this like when that PC version of Gears of War had like a new chapter added?
Yeah, I think they realized they kind of pissed people off with that.
Well, I don't see how this is much better. It's like, here's
Well, at least you,
level.
At least you get it. I mean, there was no way to get it on the 360 was my thing. I mean, you know, additional content's fine. Because it's not like this came out like 3 weeks after the game released.
Right.
Also, you can now sign up to beta test StarCraft 2. Actually, what you do is you go over to Battle.net and you download some little program that will, like, grab a capture of all your PC stats, sends that to Blizzard, keeps on your profile, and then you just, like, pick, I want to opt into all StarCraft betas, all Warcraft betas, all Diablo betas, of which I did all three. So, you know, you should go do that. People are saying that this beta will probably start in the summer, so game should be out by year's end.
You think?
That's the speculation.
Oh, part one of the Epic Trilogy, though.
Yes.
But they don't really talk about that anymore, do they?
Yeah, they kind of kept that on the down
low. It's just StarCraft 2 these days, isn't it? StarCraft 2 beta. Isn't this the StarCraft 2 Terran whatever shit game?
I don't know.
No? Whatever.
So we've been pretty quiet about GameTap as of late because they've been kind of all restructuring and shifting and good old games is better. But they have partnered with Microsoft Game Studios to bring a slew of very exciting titles to the service. And they include Age of Mythology, Age of Empires 2, Rise of Nations, Freelancer, Fable, MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries, and Zoo Tycoon, which are all really good games.
You like Zoo Tycoon?
Okay, Zoo Tycoon's fine. But the other ones are really good. Like, Freelancer is one I'd really be interested in going back and playing again, because I played that a little bit when it first came out, but not a ton. And Rise of Nations and Age of Empires 2 are both some of my favorite RTS games, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I was hoping, when I saw the headline, I was really hoping Crimson Skies would be in that list.
Alas, not.
Someday.
Yeah.
Surprise! Pokemon Gold and Silver are getting DS remakes in the forms of Heart Gold and Soul Silver. That's about all we know.
So it's like when Red and Blue got remade.
Yeah.
Although it was Green and Red.
Yeah, Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Yeah. But, you know, I have no complaints. I'll, you know, probably.
Yeah, I said I'll probably buy them.
Yeah, I'll buy them, probably. I'm like that.
And to cap off the news, alas, 3D Realms is no more, and Duke Nukem Forever is now Duke Nukem Never.
Oh,
I
no.
thought that one up earlier.
No one is surprised.
I know, right? So,
like, seriously, though, if you can't release one game in the past decade, then you probably should, you know, be closed down.
Well, so now begins the flurry of conspiracy theories and supposed blog posts from developers.
What's the ridiculous thing you told me?
Oh, God. So this one,
I don't believe this for a second.
A lot of people don't. It's some blog post by one of the devs from 3D Realms, and I mean, the only thing that gives this credence is this blog was established, so it's not like something out of the blue. But he tells this story, and I'll be quick on it. You could look it up. It's called, like, the chair story, if you look up all this Duke Nukem stuff. Basically, he was, like, muscled by, like, Mark Rain and Tim Sweeney and George Broussard and Cliffy B into signing a contract by threat of being stabbed in the face with a splintered-off broken chair leg if he didn't sign this contract saying that he would go along with the evil plan to keep Duke Nukem Forever in perpetual development. Somehow they were going to make money off of this. They'd all be set. He just didn't want to sign a contract without a lawyer looking at it. It was very mafia-esque.
Yeah, please. Please, really.
Cliffy B does not scare me in the least.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's saying now, like, the game never was intended to come out. It was just some kind of thing they worked out with Epic where they were, like, basically their test studio for Unreal Tech, and somehow they were
but
making
the
money
end,
doing that.
Weren't they supposedly making their own engine at the end anyway?
Yeah, that was, again, who knows?
And, I mean, what?
Like apparently all the trailers that were ever released, the 2001 trailer and the 07 trailer, like, none of that was gameplay. That was stuff created just to make a trailer. And
I mean, it's just, like, there's got to be... Like, they can't really have just, like, not been able to make one game.
I know. There's certainly something to this story.
Maybe they're just really bad at their jobs. That's what I'd like to believe.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like to me these are developers who worked on this game, in quotes, who now are worried that this is going to be on their resume, so they want there to be some conspiracy.
Yeah.
So people don't just look and go, oh, you worked on that? You clearly can't ever finish anything. You're not hired.
Right.
Seriously, who's going to want to be like, oh, you're a 3D Realms guy. Huh. Well, we actually want to release our games. Seriously, but if Duke Nukem Forever came out tomorrow, would anyone really want to buy it?
No, I just feel like the age of Duke Nukem is long gone. Like, that brand of humor and whatever, like, it's like Beavis and – it would be like if Beavis and Butthead relaunched.
The game originally was like – its whole platform was it was going to have like – like, you know, not seen before, like, interactivity.
Yeah, when you look at, like, the 2001 trailer, for its time, it was impressive, but we've gone way beyond
Half-Life 2 happened.
Half-Life 2 happened, Crisis happened.
Yeah, Bioshock happened. Everything.
Yeah, the rules have changed dramatically.
The irony here is that we're doing the games of 1998 in this show. I'm pretty sure Duke Nukem Forever was supposed to come out in 1998.
Yes.
Yes, that was its original planned release. There's a phenomenal list online you could find. Look at my Twitter of things that have been accomplished in the time frame between Duke Nukem Forever's announcement and its end. Some of these highlights from the list include Google. We planned... created, commissioned, launched, landed, and still are operating two Mars rovers, the entire career of Britney Spears, the Metal Gear saga, Valve.
Final Fantasy VII onward.
The list is ridiculous of just all the things that have happened in that time.
It's just...
I just like it that we were able to put two rovers on Mars from conception to final... mission before they can make a freaking video game.
Also, please never ask me to look in your Twitter again.
Why?
Because it just sounds disgusting.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, look at my Twitter. I get it.
All right. Man, so did I miss anything important?
I can't think of anything.
Okay.
That was it for me. All right, come on. 1998.
Yep.
All right, your list is already kind of weird. It's not like Adventure's on it.
Yeah, well, you say Japanese releases.
Oh, see, that's the Dreamcast really came out in 98 in Japan.
I'm guessing it was on the list.
Yeah, you're right. See, this is where the Japanese release thing is starting to get a little iffy. No, but I still live by it. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'll do it, yeah.
I was going to say, this is your thing. Go.
This is my thing. You wrote the list for me, though, because I was running late, and I appreciate it. 1080 Snowboarding, which was...
Snowboarding game on the 64.
It was
my favorite snowboarding game to this day.
Yeah, as far as snowboarding games go, pretty good.
Pulling off a 1080 was very hard, but very satisfying.
Banjo-Kazooie came out, which is sort of... I don't know. I never liked it that much.
I liked it at its time, but I've kind of grown past the whole rare collect-a-thon style of gameplay. You know,
It hasn't aged well either.
Right.
I disappointed one of the Robbins brothers. Yesterday, disappointed somebody anyways when I said that when I called Banjo 2D a baby's game.
Whoops!
Because I just went to that first boss and like you attack him three times and he dies. I'm like, I don't have time for this. Whoopsies. Burning Rangers, which is my favorite game that I've never played.
Yeah, I put it on the list only because I feel it's important, but we never have been given the opportunity to play it because it's one of those rare late era Saturn games. The soundtrack is phenomenal.
Yeah, for my next birthday, I want this game.
Okay.
Yeah, I just like the song from it. Burning Rangers, ha, sing along, hockey, Burning Rangers, ha, 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 ducky. It's a great song.
Thank you for
that. I don't know what this game's about. I think it's about futuristic firefighters.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's the best we've got.
Yeah, that's, you know, I approve of that.
There aren't enough firefighting games.
No, there aren't. So then after that, we got Cyber Troopers Virtuan Oratorio Tangram, which just came out for the...
Yeah, for the Virtual Console.
For the Virtual Console.
A fine game.
Yeah, fine game. It's, you know, another game doesn't really age particularly well, but it was an interesting fighting game for the time. Okay, Fallout 2 came out, which was more Fallout, which was fun.
Kind of everyone considers that like the quintessential Fallout game.
It's funny how Fallout 2 came out in 98, Fallout 3 came out 10 years later.
Yep.
There it is. Next we have Grim Fandango.
Woo, the best game ever.
Oh yeah, so good. So good. I mean, well, just so many squad people just gush and gush and gush over this game for
because
good reason.
Because it's so good.
It is.
I still have this dream of playing the game with like a game capture utility running in the background, getting all the raw footage and somehow cutting it down into like a 2-hour film.
I think somebody did that.
Shit.
I think it's on YouTube. I don't know if it's still there, but I remember there was Full Throttle and Grim Fandango. Somebody had done both.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if no one did that. Someone did it for like Anachronox a while ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was kind of a thing.
I remember watching the Anachronox one, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we also have Guitar Freaks, which is hard to believe how the formula for Guitar Hero was laid out in 1998.
Yep, we had this game. We imported a copy of this game with two guitars by accident. We only meant to order one, but we accidentally hit two in the checkout and didn't realize it.
It worked out. Of course, yeah. They both ended up breaking.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
But, man, that game was sweet. See, I miss music games where, like, they couldn't really afford to, like, license music, so they had to make up their own kind of crappy tracks.
Endless Summer and Cutie Pie and Happy Man, classics all.
Oh, yes, indeed. Half-Life came out. How about that?
Oh, my God. I mean, this game was just so good. It changed everyone's perception of, like, storytelling and presentation in a first-person shooter.
We weren't very used to not having levels in a first-person shooter.
Or the fact that, like, it was, you know, half an hour into the game before anything even happened. You were just, like, at a day of work.
Right. It was really cool. When did System Shock 2 come out?
I don't know.
95, 95, 96.
Did it? I thought maybe it was this year and I missed it. Because I feel like for some reason it was.
If System Shock 2 came out that much earlier, I'd be surprised.
Oh, maybe 97. There's an internet, right?
The first one came out in 94.
Hang on. Where's the date?
No, 99.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool.
Yep.
So you know what? I always kind of thought that it came out before Half-Life. Because I always heard people talk about how, like, you know, like Half-Life was revolutionary, but thing came out first. I don't know.
Oh, I guess it was 99, so I'll have to put it down for next year.
Yeah, guess
it's a good
so.
Game.
So there's Half-Life.
It's very scary.
Half-Life, you know, big deal. Another big deal, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
A game I'm not quite as high on.
Well, okay, but come on.
I know, I'll give you at the time.
It's Ocarina of Time. You remember how huge that game was?
Yes, although I never did beat it, that stupid water temple.
Yeah, I did hate that water temple. Didn't
like it then, don't like it now.
Ooh, man. David Wynn's not going to be happy. So
I know.
There's some people who just can be mad that we're probably not going to give this to Ocarina of Time. But, like, that's the thing. Like, Ocarina of Time was a lot of people's choice for Game of the Year this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, it's hard to look back at it now and be like, because, like, there are games that are basically just Ocarina of Time but better now. Like, Twilight Princess is essentially Ocarina of Time done better.
I still think Wind Waker is the best one.
Yeah, Wind Waker is the best one, but Wind Waker is at least a bit different.
Right.
Whereas, but that's the thing.
Link to the Past is my favorite Zelda game. I guess I'm old school on that.
I agree with you.
Well, I might put Wind Waker above it, but I like Link to the Past a lot. Did we not give Link to the Past the win?
I don't think there's something else there.
There's some reason we had to not do it. Metal Gear Solid came out.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Unprecedented sort of use of kind of cutscenes.
Truth be told, the gameplay is right out of the old NES and MSX games, with not too much different. But what this game did was just presentations, storytelling, cinematics. I mean, all that stuff just was amazing.
Right, a lot of things we take for granted now really, really kind of got their start in here. And it's kind of funny how we had the start of that sort of, like, in-your-face style presentation right here. Whereas with Half-Life, we kind of got like the start of like the subtle kind of like never take you out of that first person use of storytelling.
Right.
So besides that, we have Parasite Eve, which is a game I never played.
Hey, you skipped one.
Oh, did I? Well, okay. Well, I say Parasite Eve. We'll get done. But Parasite Eve, do you ever play that?
I played it back in the day, and I can't really remember the experience all that well. They need to start putting more PS1 games on the friggin' PSN. I'd download this in a heartbeat. I remember liking it. I just can't remember a lot about the specific gameplay systems of it. Oh, Fiend, you ever play that?
No, I never did.
It has its fans. I mean, you know.
Panzer Dragoon Saga, how about that?
Yeah, I didn't realize it came out this year, but we own a copy of this.
Yes, we do.
Really?
Yeah, I tracked it down for Mike for Christmas a few years ago when it was still only like $70.
I haven't actually beaten it yet because I always start and I get sidetracked. It is really good.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's really cool.
It's huge.
Plus, I just love playing it and being like, ha ha, I'm playing.
Yeah,
I'm playing Panzer Dragoon Saga.
I have a sad Panzer Dragoon Saga story.
Let's hear it.
I worked for Software Etc. when the Saturn came out, so I actually got a free Saturn. When they did because it was a surprise release. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Right.
They were, I guess, at CES at the time, and they just said, "Oh, by the way, it's out. You can go buy it." And
it was E3.
Yeah, I was working that day, and the UPS dude showed up with just boxes and boxes of stuff. And we were like, "What is all this?" And it was all the Saturn. We had to put it out and sell it and wait for the crowds to come rushing it, which didn't happen.
Right.
But they sent me a Saturn. And I guess about a year or so into it when Panzer Dragoon came out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Panzer Dragoon 1 was a launch title.
Right, but Saga was a couple of years later, right?
Yeah.
3 years later. I got a copy of that free.
What?
And didn't know what to do with it because I hadn't hooked my Saturn up in ages. It went in a closet, and I think I sold it at some point.
Oh,
I hope you got like $100 for it.
No, it was – I sold it with a bundle with – somebody probably was like, this idiot, and bought my Saturn and bought whatever other junk I had with it. I think I sold the whole thing for $90.
Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, you'll have that though.
But if you want to get an idea of how it plays, if you've ever played Skies of Arcadia, the airship battles in that are kind of like the dragon battles in Panzer Dragoon Saga.
It really is like an interesting combination of Panzer Dragoon on rail shooter kind of thing with an RPG.
Yeah, it works much like you'd expect, and it works very well.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Very pretty game, too.
It is, for a Saturn game, for a 3D Saturn game.
Mm-hmm.
Ridge Racer Type 4.
I put this down because this is my favorite Ridge Racer. And there was a car that you could unlock in the game that kind of looked like the Batmobile, and it was sweet.
All right, then. Resident Evil 2. I didn't play much just because Resident Evil games just kind of scared me back then.
Yeah, I played it back in the day, but I wasn't very good at it. But I understand, again, like, it's one of those cases where, like, the first game of the series was good, set the tone, and then the second one came out and was like, that's it. Like, that's the definitive
It's probably the version. Best of the originals.
Right.
Like, the best one till 4.
The strange thing I find about this game is that it came on two discs. There were two different campaigns, and it was always implied that you should play Chris's campaign first, then Claire. But the canon is actually the other way around.
Hmm.
But no one played it that way.
That's
because it does affect each other, I guess.
Right.
Depending on which one you do first.
Mm-hmm.
Find that odd.
Sonic Adventure then came out.
Yep, the Dreamcast launched in Japan this year.
We all thought this game was pretty sweet at the time. It is still kind of fun.
The
problem with it is that when they made the sequel, you kind of thought that they're going to address some of the problems with the game. And they didn't.
Well, this is what I realize happens with every 3D Sonic game. You play Sonic Adventure, you're like, oh wow, this is like a good start. There's some really good stuff, and they just need to weed out the crap. And this is what they do. They weed out the crap, but then they introduce new crap.
Yeah.
Rather than just leaving the good stuff.
Like, they knew to get rid of the hub world, but then they like...
But then they put in the Tails and Robotnik levels in Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah. And then like, eventually they got rid of those levels, but then they made the game broken in Sonic Heroes. Then they like brought back the hub world.
But really, like Sonic Adventure with the E-102 and the big levels removed is a very pure Sonic experience. I mean, everybody plays more or less the same, just with their different abilities.
Well, Amy's a little weird, but I mean, if for some reason in this game it didn't bother me as much the other characters. I don't know, just because I was so into it.
Well, remember that first time you saw that killer whale chucking up
right.
that dock,
well,
and you're
game
like,
was just, I mean, this was like one of the, you know, this game just blew, you know, my mind when I first played it, because it looked so good, and it was a new Sonic game for, you know, back then, the first time since Sonic and Knuckles, which was forever ago. So it was a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was just, it was a lot of fun. It had an epic ending, which I liked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked it. And you have Soul Calibur, which is the other great launch title for this Dreamcast, which, I mean, Soul Calibur 4 pretty much is still Soul Calibur.
Right.
You know, it's funny. And that game was just another thing. It was just, at the time, like, whoa, this looks really good. What, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing stuff there. The Star Wars Trilogy arcade game really came out then, huh?
One of my favorite arcade games ever.
It's a good one.
I love it. Anytime I see an arcade, I gotta play it.
I mean, you know, it's very satisfying. Especially the lightsaber duels.
Oh, the best.
Also, Star Wars Rogue Squadron.
Which was probably one of the best-looking 64 games, because you used that expansion
right.
pack
See,
thing.
I wasn't into this one as much. I preferred Rogue Leader, just because it looked so much prettier.
Right, but, I mean, this game laid down some really good groundwork for the rest of the series that got sullied in the third one when they put you on foot, which was
right.
dumb.
But this one had a lot of escort missions that were just...
Yeah, that's the one they always hate
in these
games.
The series had that problem. Yeah, they had these escort missions that were just impossible. Those are always TIE bombers, and they'd just be like, we bombed you.
Can't I just go out there and shoot everybody?
I'd be like, dang it. Okay. You have StarCraft and StarCraft Brood War. Did they both come out?
They both came out this year.
That's strange.
Well, both huge titles.
There's StarCraft, the most popular real-time strategy game ever. As someone who doesn't really like real-time strategies that much, I don't have much to say. But even I, who doesn't like the genre that much, played a lot of StarCraft.
Yeah.
Because it was just a huge deal.
It was big primarily for the fact that the three races were not symmetrical. But they were very well balanced,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge deal back then. And still, a lot of people fail when they try to do that now.
Right. Like,
What's funny is now it gets pointed out. I actually remember Garnet saying something about this on one of the last Listen Up or whatever the hell they call it now. Now when they say rock, paper, scissors, and it's like a shot at a game. Like, it's got that rock, paper, scissors dynamic. Blech. But that's what made StarCraft awesome.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear that rock, paper, scissors, and I go, well, like, how else do you do it? Something beats something. Big deal. Like, that's the way things work.
Right.
But, that year all my friends finally got laptops, and I convinced them somehow to do LAN gaming. We mostly played Warcraft 3, but we did do some StarCraft. And just my favorite thing was the one Protoss unit that launched out the little fighter ships. I would just build 20 of those. Just the screen would be filled with, like, you know, this exponentially larger number of small fighters just flying all over the place. Right. So fun.
That was my whole strategy, too.
Yeah, that's all I could do.
My strategy was usually just to lose, and then once I was out, I can go do something else. Because I was just terrible at these games.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I had no idea what I was doing.
I can't get over the fact that Blizzard released two products in the same calendar year.
Isn't that shocking?
Maybe it could happen this year, maybe next year.
Was this also the Battle.net launch with StarCraft?
Yeah,
pretty much, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, too, because in the past, to play these RTS online, you had to use, like, K-Link or whatever that was called.
I think the next year we get Warcraft 2 Battle.net Edition, or sometime soon. Anyways, moving on, we also have Star Siege Tribes, which I think is, like, the first first-person shooter that was, like, a dedicated multiplayer game.
And it was awesome.
And, like, you kind of Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament followed shortly afterwards. But, you know, it was just a cool thing. If you're looking up Diablo 2, I'm pretty sure it was 2000.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to look at something.
Right.
Okay.
But Tribes was a fun game. Plus, it was one of the first games to have vehicles in it. It wasn't as big a deal as the sequel, though. But, yeah.
You know?
Right. That was just such a fun game. It had unique class. It was kind of like Team Fortress 2 on crack. I mean, Team Fortress, I guess, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a lot of fun. Oh, the first Unreal came out.
Yeah, that was like, you know, big deal. Because it was kind of like the first big competition to Quake.
Right. And I remember when Unreal 2 came out, there was a lot of hype and it didn't quite deliver.
Yeah.
But the series really kind of became more with Unreal Tournament.
Right.
You know what I remember about Unreal? Two things. One is it was gorgeous at the time.
It was good looking.
It was colored lighting before colored lighting got overdone. But the other, it goes on forever. That game just never friggin' ends.
Huh.
And also, it's very much like it's an old school style FPS in the year where Half-Life came out.
Yeah.
You know? So that's just a problem. Worms 2, which was the best of the Worms game. Well, Worms Armageddon was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
But it's Worms. I don't know what else you have to say about it. You know, it's great. Worms. It's funny. You know, Big Sheep and the Holy Hand Grenade. Good stuff. Xenogears. I want to play this sometime. I hope they release this on the PSN sometime, because my one friend still swears by this as one of the best RPGs ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was it good?
It's good, but it's pretty dated now.
Yeah.
It was a 2D sprite game on the PS1 also.
Right.
So it looks a little janky if you play it now.
See, I don't have that problem. Like, I played, like, Final Fantasy VII recently.
Yeah, see, I'd rather a 2D sprite game than a 3D, because I got Wild Arms on the PlayStation Network, and like the field levels and the 2D sprites still look nice. And you get to the battles, and they're like, at the time, it's like, oh, 3D, but now it just looks like shit.
See, that's like my thing, though. Even like the bad 3D, I can kind of get over. So that's usually not too much of a barrier for me.
I think the big thing with Xenogears was the controversy, because it had religion in the story.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember it being like, oh my god, I guess there's some Jesus imagery or something, but please, it's pretty tame.
I'm sure by today's standards, now that almost every game is about killing God and whatnot. It's kind of funny that the Xenos... I understand Xenosaga really has very little to do with this game.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it that I could tell, other than maybe Xeno. Some references. Yeah, if you're a huge Xenogears nerd, you might be like, oh, I get that reference, but it didn't mean anything to me.
All right, well, we got the obligatory giant list from Sword Guy. So first we got Baroque, which was, besides being an architectural style, I guess it's like, he says it's a Silent Hill meets Megami Tensei first-person dungeon crawler.
He's not even on the show when he gets a reference to that.
No.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I think he decried this year because there was no Shin Megami games released.
Only he would think this was a shitty year.
Devil Dice, remember that game?
Vaguely.
Puzzle game. I never really played it.
Garbage.
Garbage? Really?
It was garbage.
What about No One Can Stop Mr. Domino? Because I remember that one also and didn't play it.
No idea.
No. Star Ocean 2, which...
I liked that game.
I liked it, but I remember it was one of those first-person shooters that just, like, had, like... Like, a lot of first-person shooters have... I'm not
What are you talking about? RPG?
I'm an RPG. I don't know what happened.
Like, first-person shooter.
I don't know what happened there. Brain fart. But it's one of those RPGs where, like, it's just the really, really slow opening.
Yeah, it was a slow opening. But once you get past that, the combat was fun.
Suikoden 2? Suikoden.
I think.
Never played.
He says it's his favorite PS1 RPG after Vagrant Story.
It's pretty great.
The first one.
Suikoden 2 will also run you like $300.
Jeez. I want a PSN version of that. Yeah, God. Why these games are so expensive? What's Super Tempo? The Saturn sequel to the overlooked 32X game. Oh, I think he showed me that 32X game. Well, that's cool. Yeah. Open up that YouTube. I want to see what this looks like.
Okay.
I mean, okay. I want to see what Super Tempo looks like. We got time.
No, we don't have to leave for Pittsburgh in an hour.
Oh, you're fine. Let's take a look at this.
Okay, this is exciting radio, everybody.
Skip to the middle.
Okay. This is a playthrough. You're not going to see much. This is a 36-minute long video.
It looks cool. Okay, fine. We're done. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that was Suikoden anyways. I think it was a missed
Yeah.
Missed length thing.
Can we please move on?
That went well. Tail Concerto. It's a game like The Misadventures of Trombone. Remember that?
Yeah, I like that.
Trap Gunner, multiplayer top-down shooter. Treasures of the Deep. I remember Treasures of the Deep. It was like a kind of a shmup with the submarines, if it's what I'm thinking of.
Oh.
Okay, so he has other games. He says 1080 snowboarding, Baldur's Gate. You missed Baldur's Gate?
Oh, shit, I did.
Well, there's Baldur's Gate.
Okay, let's talk about Baldur's Gate, because
I never played Baldur's
Gate. I played it back then, and again, a game that was way over my head, but I realized, like, this is really good. I just don't understand it.
Right.
Cool game.
Colony Wars Vengeance, Crash Bandicoot 3, Descent Free Space, F-Zero X, Fallout 2, Grim Fandango, Half-Life, Jazz, Jackrabbit 2, Link's Awakening DX, Ocarina of Time, The First Marvel vs. Capcom, Medieval, Mega Man and Bass, Metal Gear Solid, Metal Slug 2, Myth 2, Abe's Exodus, Panzer Dragoon Saga, Parasite Eve, R-Type Delta, Sonic Adventure, Soul Calibur, Spyro, StarCraft and Brood War, and Wario Land 2. And he says his favorite title of the year would be Neon Genesis Evangelion Girlfriend of Steel and Irritating Stick. I remember Irritating Stick. I remember that game kind of got good reviews.
Game that only 1998 could produce, Spice World.
And he says that his Ocarina of Time is his favorite video game ever. And he predicts we're going to say Half-Life. We'll see. What about the rest of the squad, Edge Guy? Anything on the Twitter?
I didn't actually see anything on Twitter.
Oh, we got some things.
We did?
Oh, yeah. Just go to our Twitter account, go to the Exploding Barrel, and do the @replies.
I'm on it.
Oh, yeah, I know you're on it.
Here I go.
It's once again incredibly exciting radio as we wait for the internets to load.
Hang on. It's coming.
Jeez,
why is this going so slow?
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Can you start from where?
See, like I said, I don't really think we got anything.
No, we got a bunch. There they are. What are you even doing?
Okay, well, Captain Carnage is Unreal and Tribes. And Blood 2 and StarCraft.
Right. He also wanted to bring up Sin.
Where does he say that?
Right there. Oh. Don't worry about it. I got it. I got it. I guess Sorgai also wanted to bring up
Sagata Sanshiro. Okay, I learned about this guy this morning.
Who is he?
Okay, so for those who don't know, because I didn't know this until about 3 hours ago, Sagata Sanshiro is this like mascot they made up to promote the Saturn in Japan. Imagine the Japanese Chuck Norris who plays a lot of Sega Saturn.
Oh.
According to his Wikipedia article, you know, in addition to all his feats of karate, he could throw a person through the air and make them explode twice when they land, a feat he pulls off easily.
Oh, nice.
He's a lover and a fighter.
I get you. I like how this was done, like, towards the dying days of the Saturn.
Well, you see, when the Saturn was on its way out and the Dreamcast came out, you see, a missile was launched at the Sega headquarters, presumably fired by Sony and Nintendo. Sagata Sanshiro very bravely jumped on top of the Sega headquarters, leapt into the air, deflected the missile, and rode it into space.
And we never heard from him again. So he went back to his home planet. Is that what it is?
I think he died. But he gave his life to save Sega.
Probably not worth it in the long run. He should have reconsidered that one. He should have stuck around because they were going to need him again.
Should have just gone and gotten a job at Nintendo instead.
Right. Also, Captain Carnage wants to bring up that on the not-so-good front, we had King's Quest Mask of Eternity.
Oh, God, that was shit.
Nothing good to say about that.
Right. All right. So, okay, let's get to our real list.
I think we missed one. Missed Thief.
Thief came out?
Yeah, Thief 1, The Dark Project.
Oh, shit.
Right. I think he's right. I think Thief did come out.
That was a cool game.
That was a cool game.
First-person stealth working for the first time.
Yeah, that was cool. Is there anything else, Fiend, that we forgot?
I think that's the only one we didn't mention.
Okay.
All right. We got to pick one. Okay. It's got to come down to, well, Grim, Ocarina of Time,
Metal Gear
Solid, or Half-Life for me. Those are
StarCraft.
Or StarCraft. Yeah. You have a hard time convincing this.
I know.
TS Hater.
My personal vote is Baldur's Gate, though. I mean, that was the game that just, for me, just took over that whole end of that year and just launched BioWare.
That, and it also kind of really cemented the... I mean, granted, Fallout started it, so I guess this, I can't say with too much authority, but like, it kind of really cemented the Western RPG genre.
Well, it
for a lot of people.
That's
a good way of putting it. Yeah.
At the time, it was gone. I mean, they just didn't make those games for PCs anymore. And then after Baldur's Gate, all of a sudden, things like Diablo were financially possible.
Okay, you guys are gonna have a hard time to get me to go along with.
I'm still not saying if I'm gonna go with Baldur's Gate. I'm just supporting his argument.
And not that I don't recognize its importance, but for me, it's just not a game I enjoy playing.
And it brought the world Minsk and Boo.
That is true. Voiced by Jim Cummings.
See, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Minsk was the... Oh, you need to play it someday.
You really
do.
Yeah,
sure. I tried playing, Icewind Dale 2 recently. It's just too much for me.
It is tough to play those old Infinity Engine games, especially the first Baldur's Gate had so many interface problems that got fixed in the second one.
Uh-huh.
So, but
right,
that's my vote.
Let me just go for some of the other ones. Like, what do you guys
think? I want to say Grim Fandango, because that is my favorite game ever.
Right.
But it's nothing important.
Its greatest legacy may be that its failure in sales led to the death of a genre that we loved.
Yeah.
Sadly. Well, what about Half-Life, though? There's a huge legacy there. Incredibly important.
Yeah, it basically changed the rules for single-player first-person shooter experiences.
Metal Gear Solid.
Here's why I don't vote for Half-Life.
Why?
I think somebody else would have done that eventually.
Probably true.
It's got to take a shot for that last level, which blows.
That's also true.
Okay, what about Metal Gear Solid? What do we put against Metal Gear Solid?
Making me look at the back of the CD case to solve a puzzle.
At the time, I actually thought that was kind of neat.
Isn't that something that all these adventure games though that we love? Didn't they used to do that all the time?
Yeah, that was like their DRM.
It's kind of a throwback. And I did kind of think that was neat also.
It took me out of it for some reason.
And Ocarina of Time was the big Zelda game, which always...
I mean, it was a very successful transition from 2D to 3D for the Zelda series. It's just, how do you pick one of these?
Well, What do you know.
Do you go by the amount of people playing? Because then StarCraft wins with all those Koreans.
That is true.
I do not want to say StarCraft.
But you know, just got to look at it like, I mean, it is a cultural phenomenon in Korea. Oh. It's still popular here.
Because it's a culture.
It's basically the only popular form of televised gaming that exists in the world.
Edgar, I gave you Myst, damn it. I am not giving you StarCraft. No way.
I just want to vote against Ocarina of Time because it's going to annoy so many people.
We're not doing Ocarina.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Ocarina of Time.
It's not going to be Ocarina of Time.
For me, it comes down to either Half-Life or Metal Gear, I think.
For me too, honestly. And I don't think Fiend's feeling us.
I would not argue with Half-Life, but it's for me, it's Baldur's Gate. Just like for you, it's going to be Grim Fandango.
Right.
Okay. So can we maybe make a compromise on Half-Life? I know you say – and like you said that someone else would have done it. We can say that about a lot of things. I mean, we can play the game of what if or, you know, what could have happened. But these guys did do it.
Yeah, they got it out the door
first. In an impressive fashion.
Sure.
All right, I'm marking it.
So let's say Half-Life. Half-Life 1, 1998.
I thought the game was going to begrudge us that.
No, I think Half-Life 1
until we give it to Half-Life 2 in 2004.
Yeah, that's a problem. I will say that I do like Half-Life 2 a lot more than Half-Life 1.
Oh,
even.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Let's not overlook the incredible influence that the mod community
That's true,
had.
Too. That was really the first. Well, no, I mean, not the first. I mean, Quake was very.
This is the first time that I think the mods were turned into full-fledged.
Yeah, Valve really saw the importance of mods and said, okay, well, not only are we going to make our engine easily to modify and put out, we're going to promote these ourselves.
Right, and we can't overlook just how important it was that this is the start of Valve.
Yeah.
And just how ridiculously important that is. Okay, I feel good about that then.
All right.
I feel better now.
I'll recap it. We have the list on my computer now. So we have 86 was Zelda, 87 is Metal Gear, 88 is Mega Man 2, 89 is SimCity, 90 Super Mario World, 91 Street Fighter 2, 92 Star Control 2, 93 Myst, 94 Final Fantasy 6, 95 Warcraft 2, 96 is Mario 64, 97 is CMI, and 98 is Half-Life. This is actually our first first-person shooter on the list.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too.
There you go. Yeah, okay, cool. See, our list is well-rounded.
It is. It's very well-rounded.
We have just about every genre represented on here now, in fact.
Yeah. Two Mario games, and it's about the only repeater so far.
Yeah.
Cool. So, why don't we get to that quiz?
All right. I'm going to get my ass kicked again, aren't I?
Maybe. I kind of had to do this quickly.
Oh, good.
But it's good. It's good. Okay.
Okay.
It's a Great American Asgard Gaming Quiz, inspired by the games in 1998. Question number one. What year was Half-Life ported to the PS2?
I'm going to guess it was 2001. Fiend, do you know for sure?
That was my guess.
Yeah, 2001?
Correct.
Yay. It had a co-op campaign in it.
Yes, it did. Question two. How many years into the future does Link travel in Ocarina of Time?
It's 7, right? Fiend, do you know? At least it was 7 in that movie trailer, so I'm going to go with 7.
It is 7.
Yeah!
I'm surprised you know that. Okay. Number 3. Calavera is Spanish for what?
I can't remember the exact... It's something about, like, the papier-mâché dolls that they make for the Day of the Dead. But how specific do I have to be?
No, that's not the right track.
I can actually help you with this one.
Oh, okay. What?
I don't know. I remember this from the PC Gamer story back then. Skull.
Oh, okay.
Skeleton or head.
What he said.
Yeah, skull. It's skull. Jeez, you actually got 3 points so far. All right. Question number 4. Metal Gear Solid 4 takes place in what year?
Shit. I totally know this.
Solid 4, you said, or the first one?
Did I say 4?
You said 4.
I think I might have. I don't know why.
Which one you mean?
I meant Metal Gear Solid 1.
Oh.
Well, for God's sake, think about it.
I don't know. You said 4.
I said 4, but give me, you know.
Okay, hang on.
Metal Gear Solid, sorry, takes place in what year?
Is it like 2002 or something weird like that?
What do you keep, like, asking me, like...
I'm not asking you, I'm asking Jeff.
I don't remember.
I'll say 2002.
Something with an X.
2005.
Damn!
Sorry. Question 5. What year was StarCraft 64 released?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say 99?
2000.
Damn!
Ooh. And the bonus question. King's Quest, Mask of Eternity... outsold Grim Fandango by what factor?
Oh, no.
Probably like a factor of three.
Factor of 2 to 1.
Oh.
2 to 1.
Those bastards. That game sucked. It wasn't even an adventure game. You didn't even play as one of the kings.
It wasn't even playable. You couldn't play it.
No, I could because I at least had a GeForce card. It ran better in Glide than it did in OpenGL.
What was worse, that or Ultima 9?
I never played Ultima 9 because I heard from the get-go that that game was just an unplayable mess.
Absolutely unplayable. You just couldn't. It wouldn't work.
It's funny how I could remember King's Quest and Half-Life coming out around the same time. It was, everyone's like, "Oh my god,
yeah.
Which one?" All right. Well, you started off pretty strong there, and you fell.
I know.
Fell apart. All right, let's get to our week in gaming. You know, I'm trying to think if I did anything interesting with gaming this week. But I think my whole week was centered around I was going to see Star Trek eventually, and I think that's all I did.
Can I talk about Broken Steel?
Yeah, you can talk about Broken Steel. Woo-hoo! A little bit.
Okay.
Don't get carried away or anything.
Jeff, do you play Fallout 3?
I played Fallout 3. I have purchased all three expansions now. My plan is to play them like a pseudo-sequel.
So see, that's what I wanted. I wanted to wait, too, until like, they were all out. So I would have that thing.
You did beat the Fallout 3 main campaign.
Yes.
Okay. So everyone listening, minor spoiler about the ending, which I almost feel like everyone knows by now, but all the same, skip ahead like 2 minutes if you don't want to hear this. Okay. That said, so we all know at the end of the Fallout 3 campaign, you very selflessly sacrifice yourself in the Project Purity Chamber to save humanity and create pure water. I was a little disappointed in that. The way we all knew, like, this expansion would extend the ending and it adds 10 more levels to experience. So I was curious to see how they would kind of retcon the ending. It's basically like a thing pops up that says 2 weeks later and it's like, oh, you didn't die.
Yeah.
You were just really sick. So you're like, oh, okay. So I was a little disappointed in that regard. I thought it'd be neat if they came up with something a little more flashy than that. Even like, you know, they still have Ron Perlman does that ending narration and he still says like, you know, the wondrous story was over. And I'm like, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it would have been cool if they re-recorded new dialogue for him or something.
Isn't it true that you could send your companion to go into the chamber?
I understand that. I didn't do that yet with my guy because I was like, no, my guy, the character
I've
built.
Does he die if he does it?
I don't know. I haven't tried it. I actually just left Fox at the museum. But, so, you know, you wake up, whatever. So I started doing the new quest lines. There's two kind of side quests you get at Project Purity. That involve Rivet City and Megaton. And maybe there's something even different if you destroyed Megaton. I don't know. But I did those. They were cool. They're kind of just, you know, standard Fallout quest.
Cool.
Then I started doing the kind of main quest line for the game, which gets ridiculously hard. Like, really hard. You're going through the subways, and they have you fighting these new types of ghouls. They're impossible. And there's like 20 of them. Like, they would not die. And by the time I got to them, because you're fighting all these security robots, my armor was so damaged, it was offering no protection. I went through 120 stim packs. Okay? This was ridiculous. Dog meat died.
Is he gone?
Well, I got the puppies perk, so he'll come back.
Nice.
But I was very sad, especially since I just found him, because I thought I'd lost him for so long, and because he glitched out, but he did respawn.
Is he really much help anymore in dog meat?
Not in that situation, he wasn't. And then, of course, too, you can, if you have a high enough science skill, you can get the robots on your side, but I accidentally shot one during the fight with the ghouls, so then they all turned back on me.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, yeah, it was so hard. So by the time I got to kind of the climax at Adams Air Force Base that they talked about, I stealthed through the whole thing. I was like, I can't fight anything. I'm screwed. I have half my health. I have no stim packs. I stealthed through the entire ending, which actually was kind of cool because it's the first time where stealth in a not stealth based game felt fun and exciting to me. Hmm. But playing just the expansion content from level 20 took me to level 24 to give you an idea of how much progress you'll make. So I still have 6 levels to go. I still got a ton of side quests I never did in the game. But I mean, if especially like you who saved all the expansions, then probably all 3 of them will take you all the way to 30.
That's good. That's what I was kind of hoping for.
And see, and I
what are like the level 30 like perks? Are they awesome?
The one is called the Almost Perfect perk. It takes all of your special skills to 9.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
What was the? There's another level 31 that wasn't as cool. I forget what it was actually.
That's sweet though.
But
could you get like some of the other? You can just get some of the ones that are level 20 though now, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can get all the level 20 perks if you want. Or you can get all the ones you missed before.
See, that's what excites me. Just like the just extending my level. That's cool.
Yeah, some of the newer perks, they weren't super exciting to me. Like, the puppy's perk is cool. Just lets dog meat come back if he dies. There's one at level 24, 26. There's three different perks that just take you to either extremely good karma, extremely bad karma, or completely neutral karma.
Oh, cop-out?
Yeah.
Thanks. I don't like those cop-out
perks. The only
perks.
Thing I'm going to use that for is there is achievements for being one of the three at level 30. So when I level up to 30, I'm going to save my game and just do all three of those.
Yeah,
I get the
why
achievements.
Not?
And one
thing, how many new achievements does it add?
I think did I count this right? Three or four?
Like
well, those
points?
Three, and four. Then there's each of the main quests
how
has their own achievement.
Worth?
I think 150.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Also, too, like I just want to say, like for people who did play the first two expansions first and didn't necessarily get the experience. Nevertheless, the items I got from those expansions, the weapons and the armor, were still incredibly useful. So I don't feel like it was wasted time, I guess.
Cool.
So that was good.
Did you play anything else?
I did get Patapon 2.
You play it yet?
Yeah. I mean, it just picks up where the demo left off. Like, you could load the same save file and keep going. So nothing too vastly different that I didn't talk about last week, but it's still way fun.
Cool.
Really good game.
You play anything else?
That's all I could think of right now.
How about you, Fiend?
I've been dabbling. I seem to have a short attention span lately, so I've been sort of all over the map. Play a little bit of Henry Hadsworth here. I'm on level 4 of that.
Oh,
It's been talked to death. It's great.
Mm-hmm. There's been much gushing for that game on this show.
I went back and played a little more Last Remnant, which has not really gotten any better. But I'm sort of in that netherworld with an RPG where it's like, well, I've already put 10, 15 hours into this.
That's usually where I'm going to play an RPG but never finish it, that's usually where I stop.
What I'm doing with it is I'm playing that and then putting the baseball game on the laptop screen.
Oh, that's right. You got MLB 09 the show, right?
Yeah, that's the other thing I've been playing on and off. So I did – I was planning to do it, and then you advised also. I made a pitcher.
Oh, nice.
I think that's the best way to play Road to the Show.
Oh, definitely.
I was in the Yankees farm system and was unceremoniously traded to the Rangers, which – doesn't make me very happy.
See, I kept telling the guys, like, don't trade me, don't trade me, don't trade me.
I didn't know you had to do that.
Yeah, you have to go talk to your manager, and you can kind of like be like, I don't want to be traded. And they'll be like, okay. As long as your stats are like, okay, they'll kind of be nice to you about it.
Well, so now I'm in the starting rotation, AAA, for the Rangers. So whatever. Oh. It's still fun.
Sounds like you got the AAA a lot faster than I did.
I got there in my second season.
No, I got there in second season too, actually. The middle of third season was when I finally made it to the majors.
Yeah, and I also downloaded I bought because I reflex action, I see Arkanoid and I buy it. It's cool. It's Arkanoid. It is ugly as hell though. Like they didn't do anything. The blocks aren't shaded, nothing. It's just it's just ugly.
I read too. Doesn't kind of pull that like Luminance Live thing where your $10 only gets you like the first two episodes, and the other two are like $5.
Oh, I don't know. The only the first two are on the menu screen. I was sort of assuming that after you beat the first two, you unlock the others.
Now, my understanding is you have to pay 400 Microsoft points for three and four.
How much are they charging?
Oh,
for Arkanoid?
Oh, fuck that noise.
$15 10, total. Then
it's $10
for Arkanoid.
Yeah, well, it would be $15 if you have to buy the extra $5.
There's like for Arkanoid, please. All right. We done with this?
What That's it
playing?
For me.
All right. Good for me, too. I didn't play anything.
Okay.
I mean, I've been playing more.
You've been playing Study for Finals?
Yeah, at Finals. I've been playing more Bioshock. Bioshock's still amazing. What do you want me to say about it?
Right.
Okay. So why don't you talk about these downloadable games?
Okay. On WiiWare, Penguins and Friends. Hey, that's my fish.
Hey, that's my gum.
You catch all the fish before someone steals them from you.
Okay, that's terrible. Let's
Virtual Console, Tower Toppler for the C64. Jeff, have you played this?
No.
Okay. DSiWare. We have, very exciting, the Animal Crossing Calculator and the Animal Crossing Clock for $2 each.
No.
Again, maybe these would be impulse buys, $2. But the fact that you have to do that $10 Wii Point purchase, like, who the hell's going to buy these?
I can't wait for some compelling DSiWare stuff to come out.
Xbox Live Arcades, we have the aforementioned Arkanoid Live. We also have Space Invaders Extreme and Zombie Wranglers.
Zombies sure become popular in games lately, don't they?
I did play the demo for Zombie Wranglers.
How was it?
It appears to be directed at six-year-olds.
Okay.
Oh, nice to know.
The PlayStation Network actually saw a big week. We have Puzzle Quest Galactics on the PS3. Patapon 2 and Pursuit Force on the PSP. And then we have three PS1 games, which is shocking. Bowling, R-Type Delta, and Spyro 2, Ripto's Rage.
Was it Ripto's Revenge?
It was listed as Ripto's Rage.
Maybe it is Ripto's Rage.
On goodoldgames.com, Chessmaster 9000, and Postal 2 Complete.
All right, Postal. Let's talk about the real games that came out. Klonoa came out on the Wii this week. I remember, I think I played Klonoa 2.
You played 2.
Which was, it was great. I remember liking it. And I played, like, there was a Game Boy Advance Klonoa that I played. They were fun games.
Yeah, they're good.
Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian came out for the Wii and 360. Patapon 2 came out, as we mentioned. Crisis Maximum Edition. So it includes Crisis, Crisis Warhead, and Crisis Wars in one package. That's cool. I never got that. I wonder how much that is.
Probably $40, I bet.
Plants vs. Zombies for the PC. I've heard a lot of good things about
this. It's a tower defense game by PopCap.
Leisure Suit Larry Box Office Buzz finally comes down to PS3. It is the worst reviewed game of the year.
Oh, good. There's a shocker, right?
No. Look at this. New Play Control Donkey Kong Jungle Beat came out. Now, how does this play exactly? So instead of just the bongos, you just kind of shake the Wiimotes?
I guess. I wonder how you do the clapping.
That's a good point. That was a great game, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, that was an awesome game. Destiny of Zorro for the Wii.
This is a game, like, it's been in development for a really long time. I wonder if it's any good.
Probably not.
I like Zorro.
Probably not. Puzzle Kingdoms for the DS. Sherlock Holmes Chronicles for the PC. And the Night at the Museum game also came out for the DS. And that's it.
Yep.
And
yep, there you go. $40 for Crisis Maximum Edition.
That's kind of cool.
That's not bad.
I might have to think about that.
Your computer can run it.
It can run it. So, you know, what is Crisis? Is that, like, Crisis Wars is, like, the multiplayer thing?
Yeah, it's, like,
that
multiplayer
thing. I don't know. Okay. Well, that kind of brings us to the end of the show. I do want to bring up, though, that we did see Star Trek yesterday. Me and AJ did.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so amazing.
Everyone go see that, please, so there'll be more Star Trek. Because I don't want to, you know, obviously, I don't even want to say anything, like, remotely plot or spoilery. Because, you know, a lot of people, they're going to enjoy the hell
out
of it.
Just know that it's awesome.
Yep, yep. All right, everyone. Fiend, thanks for joining us this week.
No problem.
Thanks for, I mean, it was kind of short notice, so thanks for getting on here. It was cool.
Anytime.
Yeah, it was crazy for us. I mean, I just had my last final.
This morning.
This morning. I came here
and
did this.
Literally came from campus and sat down in this chair.
Yep. Yep. Now I have no more school forever, and oh, man.
You have to find a job.
Yeah, not right away.
Welcome.
I'm taking at least a day off. I'm gonna lay down.
I'll give you till we get home from vacation in a couple of weeks. Oh, speaking of, I'm going to put out a dispatch to the Squadron of Shame at large. Not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, Mike and I will be on vacation. So we are looking for two or three stalwart companions who are willing to take over the show for that week.
I kind of told him about this when we finished recording the Fate of
Atlantis. Good.
So we're going to make a thread about it. And
yeah,
people
so
are interested.
We'll just need someone to who, like, most importantly, edit the show, and I'll give you all the instructions on how to upload and everything.
They seem willing to help, which is cool. That's going to be not next week, but the week after. Also, I mean, I need to send Pete my files for this show, but also coming soon will be the Fate of Atlantis episode of the Squadcast, which we recorded. It was fantastic. It's going to be great. Give me good times.
Word.
Geez, everyone, thanks for listening. You can find more about us at SquadronShane.com and at our site, explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tolkoto@squadronofshame.com.
Edgeguy at squadronofshame.com.
And if you want to follow me, just go to twitter.com/fiendwagon.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you have a good week. Make sure you go see Star Trek. Live long and be awesome.
Hey, that could be your sign off. I'll give you that.
Can you?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Live long and be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. We'll test that out. Live long and be awesome. Bye, everyone.